Dennis.
Welcome to the Startup Attic podcast. Okay.
I'm not again. Moment. Not again.
I've been starting companies for over 20 years now. I've had some big successes, like Zappos.com, and lots of failures. Regardless of the outcome, I'm still convinced there's nothing more addicting than trying to turn ideas into reality.
Holy-o.
Now your voice is...
Jim.
Quit your job.
All right, intros are over.
Quit yes. your job. Welcome to the Startup Addict episode number 24. Today we get to talk about when to quit your job and start your own business.
Now.
Sweet.
So...
is this a job?
Well, you get paid for jobs.
It's a passion project?
It's a passion project. Sweet. That's what I consider it as. But, yeah, what do you guys think? When should people quit?
Depends if they work for us or not.
Okay.
yeah, if they work for us, never.
Never.
This is a dream job. I think you should quit when it doesn't make you happy anymore. When you aren't...
you don't want to go in.
When you're doing something that, it just isn't fulfilling you. And I think that's one of those easy things that everyone talks about, but is hard. And I think that if you've got an idea to start a small business, there's no better time than now, right now, Julio. You should just do it.
When I left Zappos, I just didn't want to go to fucking work.
Yeah.
Like, I'd get up and I'd be like, and I didn't have to go to work, right? So I was like, I'm going to go to the driving range and then I'm going to go to work. And then I get to work and I was in a unique situation because I wasn't, there wasn't any one part of the business that like super interested me or I was super involved in, right?
Yeah.
Gone from jack of all trades to kind of like, I'll help out with this. I'll help out with that. You know, in the beginning I could jump into anything and like contribute. Mm-hmm. And then it was more, there was someone better than me at each thing. So then it was more like, I'll help out with this. And then eventually it was like, there's nothing that's making me like, that I really want to do. So yeah. I would remember I would go to, but I wanted to leave, but I felt like I couldn't leave, right? I thought like if I left, it would be, the company was set up. Like it wasn't going to, I didn't think there was going to be any performance issues if I left. But I just figured it was just going to be a bad look if the founder left. Especially because we hadn't had like a big exit or a big event.
Yeah.
And so it would just seem like, why is he leaving? What happened? You know, I was the chairman. Like, what's going on? There was that, and there was also telling your coworkers, "Hey, I'm leaving because I'm bored as hell." And then there was also that combined with like, wait, am I doing this? Is a bad decision? Like, is there going to be a whole bunch of? Are we going to, you know, as we evolve, is there going to be some area that would be super exciting, which I would get totally into that I'm not going to get to participate in if I'm not here? But eventually, it was like before I finally. Like the 6 months before was basically like suddenly became interested in golf, which means it must have been pretty fucking bored, right? And golf was a weird acceptable one of like, hey, you guys, let's go play golf and talk about things. And like that seemed to be seemed to be okay.
It's like, let's go to the arcade and talk about things.
And then I would like, I felt like constricted at my desk. So yeah. I was like, I don't want to sit at my fucking desk anymore. But I also don't want to go interrupt everyone. So I would basically, if I wasn't in meetings... So I was probably spent half my day in meetings and half the day they were just sitting on a couch somewhere in the office. Like I just pick a different couch and I just sit there.
Yeah.
And then I noticed I was just researching other shit the whole time or playing fucking online poker and shit. I'm like, what am I doing? Like this is, I'd have to like check myself and be like, dude, but I didn't have any specific responsibilities other than whatever came up in these meetings.
Yeah.
So if there was no meeting, I didn't have a specific responsibility.
How long do you think you sat on it for before you decided to quit?
Probably 6 months.
6 months.
We had our weekly management meetings on. I don't remember if they're. I think they're on. I don't know if they're on Mondays or Fridays. So that would dictate how the week was going to go.
Yeah.
We'd divide and conquer whatever it was in that meeting. But on times when there wasn't anything urgent, then I really didn't have a whole lot to do. I just bump around and talk to people, and I guess in theory hope that I was raising their morale. And then I would, just dick around. And then we moved. We moved offices, so that gave us like a little burst. And then I moved into a different hallway. Like I moved over with like legal and accounting.
Yeah.
And I thought, be a different perspective and I'll just bump into different people. Because before I was always either up in like where merchandising or customer service or marketing all sat. So I got an office down by accounting and legal, which was fun for a minute because you start, you know, you bump into new things. But then I just sat in my office thinking, this is fucking, like, I'm only staying here to make everyone else happy. And I don't even know if it's, it would, they would even give a shit. Like, you know, it doesn't really, it would be totally understandable to go do something else.
So for the young entrepreneur who wants to start out a business, let's say hypothetically somebody that may want to start a shirt company that may or may not sound like Cooks and Spoons.
Well, I remember Tony saying that, like Tony said, because so Tony and me were saying the same thing about why did they eventually sell Link Exchange, which was his company before Venture Frogs. And Venture Frogs was the company that invested in Zappos. So he was like, it got to a point where I just didn't want to go to the office anymore. Like, you know, you, when you're excited, you wake up at fucking 6 o'clock in the morning. You can't wait to get going.
Yeah.
Your mind's always racing. And then there's a point where you're like, you wake up later and you're just like, I got to fucking go. And you just, you know, he said he hit that point. And so for them, they knew it was time to sell the company. But it wouldn't sound like they would have, and if they didn't sell the company, then probably would have been like, all right, let's bring in some senior leadership and I'll go do something else. So I feel like it's probably the same thing, right? When you're kind of like, I don't want to go.
And just being honest with yourself and realize I should probably change things.
I think there's a lot of people that it's like the uncertainty or the scariness of like the unknown is scary. So when you're young, it was easy because you're like, but it's still not easy when you're young. But when you're older, you look back and you think it was easy when you were young because you don't have that much responsibility. You don't have that many people counting on you. You just, you know, it all ultimately comes down to the insecurity that you won't be able to find something the same as what you already have, right? Because which is because if you thought you could find something better than you already have, then you'd fucking just leave the next day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's the difference between, you know, sitting at your desk and wishing you weren't there, and then going to find another job, as opposed to.
And by the way, we can't read your mind, so you're fine for now.
No, I'm kidding. I'm
sitting at your, when you're sitting at your desk, we're gonna assume that you wish.
I'm
you
having
were
the time of my fucking life, guys. Well, I was gonna say there's a difference between that, and then there's also the difference between sitting there and thinking I should be starting my own business, right?
Yeah.
Because you left Zappos, you didn't go with idea in hand, I'm going to go start, you know, as
I
a
did.
Stagger? Oh, you
no,
did
I
have
did,
Stagger
yeah.
in your back
I
pocket.
I started something the next day.
Oh, yeah, so you had the next. So, but
well, I went out of town for a few days, and then the day I got back, I started it.
But you left with the idea, did you leave with the idea of, I'm leaving because I want to go start Stagger, or
yeah.
Stagger's right?
Because I was, we had some point where Sequoia was our investor and they put us together with Cafe Press. They flew them out to Vegas and they said, you guys are going to exchange best practices and ideas. And then from talking to them, I became like intrigued with customization. And then I thought, well, shit, we got all this extra inventory sitting in the warehouse that we can't sell. I need a project that could be, you know, a little more entrepreneurial. Like, why don't I, so I proposed to Alfred. I was like, he was the COO and CFO at the time. I was like, hey, Alfred, why don't I just put together a small team and we'll set up an area in the warehouse in Kentucky and we'll offer customization for stuff we sell.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was like, usually when you're customizing stuff, you're customizing blanks. We can offer customization on branded merchandise, whether it's like embroidery or printing or whatever. But we were growing so fast. We were at that point probably, I don't know, almost $400 million in sales. So it was like, like it's going to be a small percentage of what we do. It's going to be a distraction. We're already kind of like, you know, we haven't perfected everything as it is. And like, I think it'll be too small. It'll be too distracting to go do that. I was like, all right. So then my next thing was like, well, what if I, but I think he said you could do it, but not if you can't use any resources. So you can't use any of the existing staff. You'd have to go out there. You'd have to hire a new team out there to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to pay him. I was like, well, why the fuck would I do that? You know, so then it was like, all right, so then I came back with, what if I start a new company that has access to Zappos inventory and then I offer customization on that, but it's still available to Zappos' customers, but it'll be a separate company that just focuses on whatever the latest is in customization. So you don't have to you guys don't have to worry about, you know, paying people and then being distracted, or people splitting time between different things or whatever. So he was like, okay, that sounds good. I was like, all right, cool. So then I figured, okay, this could be a good compromise. I'm still within the Zappos ecosystem. I'm still building something which eventually obviously would be to Zappos' benefit. I'm still in the same offices. But then he came back and he said, okay, so you can't use any resources. It's like, I don't need to. This is a separate company. I just need access to product, right? Like, I figured at that point, maybe I'll set up a, I don't remember exactly what I was thinking, but I was probably thinking something like, well, I'll just get a warehouse next to the warehouse. I'll go in, I'll grab the stuff, I'll customize it, I'll either ship it directly or take it back to them and they can include it in the orders. And then he said, okay, so we'll do this and Zappos will fund it to start up. Well, you can't use resources, but we'll invest $100,000 into this new company. New company will be 50% Zappos, 50% you. So I was like, oh, all right, that's cool. Like, I'm still at Zappos mentally in my head. Mm-hmm. But here's my upside is, what could I turn that 50% in? And psychologically, I can say it's a new company under Zappos. So I said, all right, fine, I'll do that. And I think I would have, I don't remember if I would have still gotten paid. I think I probably would have still gotten paid. It was more just an issue of not pulling people out of other departments. And so then he said, okay. And then he sent me, he goes, well, I'll just draw up a simple term sheet for the new company. We can get it going. I was like, all right. And then he sent me a thing that said, okay, everything else was the same, but it said Zappos could never be diluted. So Zappos won't contribute any more money and Zappos could never be diluted. So in theory, it still wouldn't have been that bad and there was no guarantees that Zappos would include the options on their site. It might, so it wasn't like, so if someone said, hey, you know, Zappos have half the company, you have half the company, you just got to hire your own people, set up your own little space, but we'll add to Zappos.com. You want this shit customized? You can go to, you know, Zippy.com and get it customized, and we'll still ship it. But they didn't want to do. They weren't. That would have been a commitment of resources and changing the whole flow of the site, and they'd be reliant on the technology we're using to customize stuff and would it even work? And for a customer service company, that was too risky. So I was like, okay. But still. I'm thinking, okay, well, still, it's an easy transition. I don't have to make it. I'm not leaving, and I still get to work on something new. And then B, I still have access to all this inventory. So the inventory problem is solved. Zappos had a huge inventory problem that day. It had like so much shit we couldn't sell. Great, tons of brands and products. But then he said, Zappos can never be diluted. And it was like, well, that's the problem, right? Because I can't expect Zappos, if Zappos is going to keep funding it, then really it's just Zappos doing it. But if I'm going to raise money, and no matter how successful I am or big it gets, Zappos always has 50%, then A, that's not going to be that great for me in the long run. B, it's not going to be that great for any investor, too. So, every additional investment is going to suck for everyone except Zappos. So I was like, fuck it. I'm just gonna leave and just start a customization business on my own. So then I left and staggered. Eventually, I started by contacting brands and saying, hey, and they, you know, from Zappos, they'd say, yeah, we'll sell you some stuff. So I had like, I don't remember what brands I had, but I know I had like New Era for hats. I had like DC Shoes, Oakley, those kind of brands saying, yeah, you can have our products. And just tell us what you want to order and order it. So that's what we started with. And then we ended up moving into Blanks. But looking back, the options were, so at that point I had to decide now, because now I was all excited on this new company. I could leave, but I had this idea that I really wanted to do. And I couldn't think of any other scenario inside Zappos that would be as rewarding. Not financially, but just like exciting, that would get me out of bed again. And so then, because, you know, we're sitting in meetings talking about fucking security system and cameras and key cards and like
that's not interesting to you?
No, I'm like lines of credit
jump,
stuff.
Jump out of bed for that.
I got a chubby from that one. Like, whoa, security cameras?
Jesus, God for the table. But then but in hindsight, you know, who knows, right? If I would have said, okay, yeah, let's do that, it probably would have, happened if I said, okay, fine, let's do it. And probably what they thought would happen is I'd say, let's do it. We'd have this 50-50 thing. It would either fizzle and I would just merge back into Zappos, or it would become something and that was interesting to both of us, and they would keep funding it, right? I think it was almost like a, at the time, like the 50% thing, I almost took like as a, what the fuck? Why, like offensive, like how could you, why would you put such a restriction on that money? It doesn't mean anything. But I think the reality was more like if someone came along right now, any business you're running, and said, hey, I want to go, even if it's the founder or the CEO, I want to go do this other thing, which is going to be a distraction to your business. It's much smaller than the big business. And the big business hasn't even figured its shit out yet. Then the easiest thing would have been just say no, dude. If you don't, we got too much shit. You have too much shit to worry about. We all have a bunch of shit to do here.
And if you don't, here's some more shit to worry about.
Why are you worried about fucking this stuff, right? So I took, like, in hindsight, it was an attempt at a solution that might work, but I don't think under those parameters it would have been a good business. It could have ended up being a decent department, right? Like the 100,000 would have been enough basically to buy some of the equipment we needed, and then the challenge would have come in, as we found out with Stagger, that equipment is temperamental. So now we wouldn't be messing up blanks. Now we'd be messing up like perfectly good inventory. I mean, what happens if someone orders a $200 product and wants to customize it, and the equipment is temperamental, or we haven't quite figured out the process, so we fuck it up a little bit? There goes $200. You know, it was easier with blanks where you could be like, all right, fuck it. Well, we messed that one up, or oh man, the colors didn't align perfectly in the printer. At least you're losing like $3, $4. So,
do you have any Stagger shirts left over?
I got rid of them all when, I think we talked about this before, I got rid of them. People, like friends of mine will still wear them sometimes, but I got rid of them when, I think in storage I still have some stuff.
Oh, sweet.
We made like skate decks and all sorts of stuff too. I think I still have some of those and posters and stuff. But I, shirt-wise, I was just like, as I realized that Stagger wasn't working as well as I wanted, and it wasn't, I think we talked about this before, but we did a bunch of deals with bands and all these things, and it started off really well with Madonna, and then it just kind of got progressively worse with each thing we would add. And then so when I decided to leave, then I was like, I'll just fund this on my own. And then like Tony and Chiropractor, they just said, hey, you want some money? We'll put some money in. So I just took it. So I ended up stringing it along even when I realized, because I wanted to work on a fun, creative front-end thing. And then Stagger became mostly like, hey, for this to work, you have to really, it's really a back-end manufacturing thing.
So you were back in the...
So I was back to like, I created this thing that I wasn't that interested in.
Yeah.
And so then...
I'm out.
Yeah, I wanted to stop, but because I had other people's money, I kept kind of twist and ego of not wanting to say it didn't work. I kept twisting and turning, or you know, pivoting and changing. We ended up as like an MMA brand, and then if you search for us, like Nate Diaz would wear the shirt when he's fighting, and then you'd do a Google search for Stagger, and the first thing that pops up is custom Madonna shirt. Like it just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
So that was probably, the arc was starting Zappos first few years, you're like so excited, so energetic, so much pride in what's going on, and then it hits a point where it's kind of like out of my interest zone, and so it becomes slightly boring, but it's okay, a little more boring, it's okay. Well, now it's boring and it's just like doing nothing for me. So then you start getting, I started to get a little down the dumps, or like depressed of like, man, I'm like, I've created this thing and now I'm just fucking stuck in it forever, but I don't even want to be here anymore. But then at the same time, you're selling yourself, what a fucking baby. You got this thing that's like growing so fast, and it's this, that, and the other. Now, mind you, it always felt like it might go out of business the next day. But I was like, you created this thing, and like, this is a big accomplishment. This is an exciting company even each day. You're thinking this. And now you're like feeling bad for yourself because you're like stuck in this big company that you don't even want to fucking work at. Then I leave to start a new company. Actually, no, Zappos moves to Vegas. So I go out there, one of the first, go out there with like five or six people, and then it felt like a startup again. So that was super exciting. But then the rest of the company moves out and it becomes back to being a bigger company. Then decide to leave. All of a sudden, like full of entrepreneurial energy again, and like, Stagger is gonna be awesome and anything's possible. And yeah, I fucking still got it. Like I can still be creative. Like, and then that doesn't start to work out. And now I feel like I'm stuck in this thing again because I underestimated what kind of company it would be and what the primary functions would be again. And I got other fucking people's money now, and so I can't just fucking stop. And I got, really good friends that I recruited to work at it. Like Millar came out to work on it, and a friend Jeremy, and it's like, and they probably thought I had some fucking magic touch from Zappos that was just gonna make this into a fucking monster.
Yeah.
And I let them down, let these fucking investors down. I'm no fucking happier than I was at Zappos. Like,
how do you prevent that? Like, from like when you start a business like that, where you want to do something, but you're afraid that you might lose interest because it's interesting now, but you don't know if you're gonna maintain that interest.
I don't know. I'm not very good at that. I just like the beginning of things. I think you probably would either naturally grow into some more decisions that you find interesting, mm-hmm. or the business would evolve. I don't know, something. It's still a challenge. But anyways, but back to the shirt story. But then I just got so fucking, I was actually probably technically depressed. Like, I was always like down in the dumps. And then I realized, because I feel stuck in this company Stagger now. And I'm wearing these, every time I look in the mirror, I got a fucking Stagger shirt on.
Yeah.
So every time I look in the mirror, I am Stagger. I'm not happy about Stagger. So I'm not happy about me. Like, it was fucking, it sucked. And it wasn't all like that. Like, there was, I mean, we did a whole bunch of, went to a whole bunch of fun events and a whole bunch of partying and all that stuff. It was all fun. And we created a bunch of cool stuff. We got to work with cool bands and brands and, you know, we had good people and all that stuff. It was just, you just knew it wasn't going to be the business that you wanted it to be. So I just stopped wearing the fucking shirts and realized, oh, shit.
That's easy.
I don't have to see that fucking logo every time I look in the mirror.
I want to stay with shirt, though.
So it was a good experience, but it wasn't what we hoped it would be.
Yeah.
I just ran through my checklist here that I made, this handy-dandy checklist. And you kind of checked off all the points.
Of time to quit?
Well, the questions to ask yourself, it seemed like you answered all those questions. And then the signs that you are ready to leave, you pretty much went through all of them.
The social pressure is hard. That seems to be, I would think, I don't know, but I would think that's what the young people nowadays seem to struggle with, is like, especially with Instagram, getting caught up in like, the same thing I got caught up in was where like the company is you. And if the company's doing well, you feel good about yourself. And if the company's not doing well, you don't feel good about yourself. And it's mostly in your head. People don't look at it and go, oh shit, you know, this happened today at fucking Nacheria. Wow, Nick is fucking so smart. He must have done this. Or like, oh, Nacheria sucks today. Nick sucks. They don't even, they don't even fucking think about me, right? It's like only
you check out how Nick is running.
It's only in your head that you're thinking like, because, and it happens to everyone, not just, you know, everyone in the team is all, because it's like, that's you. Like that's the lens you see things through.
Yeah.
But with all the Instagram of like being like, people put themselves out there like, I'm like starting this company and like, it's going to be fucking huge. You know, there's a certain element of people that like have watched successful people that have basically made big claims and in reverse willed it into reality. Yeah. So they come out here, make all these crazy claims, tell their friends, family, everyone. And then there's a whole culture of people that like things aren't, it's not, entrepreneurship's not as glamorous as it seems. The day-to-day life is not only not glamorous, but like super stressful. Most things either aren't working or don't go as well as everyone thinks they're going. Like, it's a hard question, even when someone asks you like, oh, it looks like things are cranking. Like, we talked, you know, like, and in your head, you're like, no, fucking things are terrible. But what do I, you know,
I'm tossing and turning.
You know, and then you get stuck in this, like, yeah, that things are awesome. Yeah. You know, like if you watch that show Succession, I was watching that, where the guy, Macaulay Culkin's brother, whatever, after the fucking
spoiler alert
satellite fucking explodes. And
spoiler alert. Yeah,
spoiler alert. Spoiler
it happened like weeks ago. After the fucking satellite explodes, right? And then he looks at it on his phone in the bathroom and he's like, huh. He had just told everyone, they're all, how's work going? He's like, oh, great. I just scheduled my first satellite launch all on my own. Like, I'm really taking the reins here, because he's like the younger brother that like kind of the fuck up that like he's got a job, but he doesn't really, shouldn't really be in the job. And he's trying to prove himself. So he's telling him, oh, it's going to be awesome. Then he goes in the bathroom, gets a text message. Watch this. And the fucking satellite that he's been telling everyone, I am fully responsible for this. I did this. I even moved the schedule up because I wanted it to coincide with whatever. It fucking explodes on takeoff. So he's just like, huh, okay. Puts it back in his pocket, goes out to the party. The first person he runs into is like, hey, so I heard you're working at the firm now. And then the other person doesn't know and goes, yeah, actually, he's got a fucking, so proud of him. He's got his own, I think it's his mom. He's like, he he's in charge of the satellite launch today that's happening right now in Japan. That's fucking amazing. He's done such a great job. And the guy's like, oh, wow, that must be exciting. He's like, yeah, it's really exciting. Yeah, how's that going? Oh, it's going great. And he walks away because the whole time he knows the fucking satellite just exploded. So then he's got to pretend, oh, my God, I didn't even see that. But that to me was like, yeah, that's entrepreneurship in a nutshell right there. You know, so I think if you can minimize the bragging, then you minimize the fear of not living up to those expectations.
Stay humble.
Yeah.
Stay humble.
Also, but under promise, over deliver, I guess.
Yeah. Another part of that social pressure question, I think, is also like, what sort of reaction did you get when you told people that you were leaving Zappos to go start something else? Like people who were like, assumed that you were happy.
Oh, most people were like, what happened? Like most people within the company articles just assumed that me and Tony had like a big fight or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, but more was I sent an email saying, hey, I'm fucking out. I'm going to go do something else. I mean, it was a very long email talking about, I learned so much here. This is the best times, blah, 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 blah. But I just can't sit here fucking, like, I need to do something.
What about your family and our close friends and stuff? How did they react?
They were just like, eh. Well, I think friends still said, what happened? Like, for people, it was hard to decide. Like, it was hard for people to imagine that it was my decision, right?
Yeah, that's
because they were sitting there going, in like a weird way, a lot of them would be like, wait, I would trade places with your job any day.
Uh-huh.
And like some people, sometimes it's like the fact that my job had become less stressful and like really I could just do whatever the fuck I wanted every day. It didn't really matter. That seemed like a dream job to a lot of people. And it was fun for a little bit, right? I mean, prior to that, like they had said, hey, why don't you be the, I think I talked about this already, but it was like, I would talk to Tony after, and I'm like, dude, I need something to fucking get my wheels spinning again. And Tony was like, why don't you go get out on the road? Like, go start doing, tons of events and interviews and be the face of the company and just get out there and be like, just do all the PR shit. You get to travel. You just get to talk about Zappos. And I was like, I don't love flying. I had just gotten married. So I was like, yeah,
give it a shot.
Man, fuck it. So I did some conference in Vegas. Just gave this out. I think I'm repeating myself now from some other episode, but I went to a conference in Vegas. I created a What is Zappos presentation and gave that. Like, wow, that's pretty fucking fun.
Yeah.
But then again, my personality, I was like, all right, sign me up for whatever. And they just signed me up for shit. So the next one was in New York, and it was the search marketing conference where I didn't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Like, wait, why am I going to this? Because you're gonna be the face of the company. You're gonna go out and do all this shit. I'm like, but I don't know anything about search marketing. I was going to go out and do like general Zappos interviews or, you know, what's next or whatever. So I went to this thing and I got on this panel with search marketing experts, and I didn't know anything about search marketing. And the VP of marketing is just sitting in the back of the room. I'm like, asking her the day before, like, hey, so just give me a fucking, she goes, you're mostly going to just gonna sit there and talk about Zappos. Just fucking answer these fucking questions. I'm like, all right, give me the rundown. I remember being like, okay, I got it. What about unpaid search? What about, like, what are the key points I need to know about that? She goes, you don't need to know anything about that, right? We track the paid results. The unpaid organic stuff is just, we don't really track it. We just take our whatever, we deduct what we paid for, and we figure that we account the rest of that. So I was like, all right, fine. I'm summarizing, but that was the gist of it. Like, I was aware of the fact that there was a topic that might come up that I should have an answer for. She said, you'll be fine. all right, fine, fuck it. So I got up on this panel, and she was in the back of the room. I still remember sitting there. And I'm like, these guys start talking, and then I'm like, this is a very fucking technical, specific fucking panel, but I'll be fine. I can wing anything. And so then they got to me, and they asked a question to all of us. And the first guy kind of said what I was going to say, which was nothing. And so they put... I was like, okay. I didn't want to just repeat what he said. So I was like, I remember saying something along the lines of, well, obviously we can't, because this is also in 2006. So the technology to track these things wasn't as good as it is today.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it was like, you had to do a lot of like manual calculations and backing things out and figure it out. But you could definitely dig down deeper than we were. And I was like, and mind you, if you're in the audience, all you think is this is who fucking Zappos put forward as the fucking
this is the man.
Marketing
can't wait
expert.
To learn from Nick.
So I'm like, you know, we obviously with the paid search, blah, 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 but with the organic, we don't really track. And I remember as I was talking, like people were, in my eyes, people were like, arms raised, like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I did this weird noise, kind of like, huh? Like, into the mic. And I just remember looking at Lisa in the back of the room, and she was just like kind of like her hands up, like
looking for
like
the cane.
Covering her eyes,
looking
like,
for the cane to come
like,
out.
This is horrible. So I just sat there and let people fucking in the audience, like, you know, whatever. And then I don't think I said anything the whole fucking rest of the time. And then I was like, oh, I'm done with this shit. I don't want to be the, like, I'll do a fucking Zappos general talk, but I'm not going on this fucking world tour talking about specifics. But still, if that would have been super interesting to me, it was an easy fix, right? Just say, hey, come on. I don't want to do fucking, don't send me to anything super specific.
Yeah.
But I'll go out and do all the general stuff. But I also didn't like flying. I didn't like traveling. Just got married. I didn't want to leave my wife. So I was like, got back and I'm like, all right, I don't want that role.
Check that one off. Don't want
and
it.
So that was, after that was when it kind of turned into this, like, that's when I got into the whole, like, what about customizing? What about this, that, and the other? But that'll be one of the hardest parts with the social pressure is people aren't going to take, like, I think there's still people that don't believe me that I was just like, I just fucking want to do this shit anymore. I want to leave. Mm-hmm. Right. Because they might be like, well, you didn't agree with Tony or Alfred about this one thing. Yeah. I don't fucking, have you seen an average day? Like, I'm not going to agree with, probably disagree with what you guys fucking say half the time.
Yeah. We have it in text.
And everyone disagrees with me, you know, like, but. But so I think there is, especially now, there's a lot of social pressure, not even so much for their companies, but for all these people that decide to put out to the world, like, I'm an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. without even thinking it through. And then they get stuck where their pride or something stops them from going to just, if it's not working out or they realize, I don't really know what I'm doing. They don't ask for help. They don't go back and just get a job. It just, I can't imagine the stress that causes. Cash wise, I had cash at that point.
What if you don't have cash?
So I didn't have cash when I left AutoWeb mm-hmm. to start. I was left AutoWeb to start a company called Four Students, which I didn't end up. Before I could even start it, someone tried to acquihire me, and then I accepted that job. But I didn't take it. But I didn't have cash to live, but I was lucky. I had, you know, supportive parents who had a place to stay.
Yeah.
And I could eat there if I wanted to eat whatever was being served, right?
You were going to go homeless.
No.
Okay.
I was going to be in a great position. I think if you didn't have enough cash, then you just keep working. You're working on the side, because why would you want to introduce another stress into the situation? It's already going to be stressful.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're going to quit your job to start a company and you know that you're going to be stressed, that you don't have any money, you're going to end up having to go get a fucking job anyway. And you're going to be, when you're stressed, it's harder to focus on your company anyway.
Yeah.
So are you ready for a lifestyle change? I don't know. A lot of companies you work, everyone works so fucking long nowadays anyway.
And a 40 hour seems like part-time now.
I think, I think the difference now is like
in America
it's part-time.
Yeah. The good and bad is, like, before it was this set, it was 9 to 5, right? Mm-hmm. And like you could gauge, like, well, I start 9 to 5. Now it's like, I think people have more freedom throughout the day, mm-hmm. but they also have less freedom around the edges of the day. Like, you're supposed to answer your fucking email at 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night. Like, yeah, you could go to the gym or have coffee with a friend at 10:30 as long as you get all your shit done, but you still have to, it's not like you're working less because you're going to end up making it up later, or on the weekends, you still got to answer your email or you still got to go do something.
You know where that 8-hour work day comes from?
Where does it come from, Dennis?
It comes from because they split the day into thirds. So 8 hours of working, 8 hours of sleeping, 8 hours of social.
Hmm. Bam.
That's how they break up a 40-hour week.
So when's the social? I mean, if you were to work 9 to 5, your 8 hours of social would either take you to, well, I guess you'd be like an hour in the morning, then you go till midnight. Yeah. So you sleep from like 12 to 8.
Yeah, that's not including commute, which people are, I mean so many people that are commuting at least 2 hours from out of town.
Yeah. Dude, when Zappos started, there was people, so we were in San Francisco. Keith would start in Vacaville.
Holy,
he would drive down, he would pick up Eileen in Woodland.
Oh yeah. My god.
Then they would pick up Fred in fucking Fairfield. Then they would pick up Ethel in Grass Valley. and then they would drive into fucking San Francisco. Aaron would start in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Oh.
He would pick up fucking Keith in Vacaville. Then they'd pick
up. That's a life in
the car. Woodland. Fred in fucking Fairfield, Ethel in Grass Valley.
He would drive from Sacramento every day.
Yeah, there and back. All of them. I mean, they spent so long, and they weren't the first ones out of the office either. It was crazy.
God, that's so nuts.
Yeah. So I sit there bitching about, I'm fucking bored, and I gotta go up fucking two flights of stairs to get home.
I knew this one guy that lived up in Redding and commuted to San Jose.
Wow.
Every day, five days a week. I was like, you guys are insane. I mean, killing your car.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And yourself sitting all that time.
6 hours
I
remember driving.
Commuting from, I think when I first started AutoWeb, I commuted from San Francisco to Cupertino or wherever we were. But, you know, at that point, you're young, you're going out. And I just remember, like, when you're coming down 101, when the cars would, like, now you're like, oh, man, I hate that we're slowing down. But then I'd be like, oh, thank God we're slowing down for a second. I just stop and close my eyes for a second. you're like, wake up.
Wake up to all the red lights.
Yeah. The only thing is, I think you get used to like, the decompressing time.
I think that's the
and
best thing.
And also you're home and you're like, oh, shit.
That's the best thing about driving, decompression.
Yeah.
I used to... Like, I don't like working so close to where I live because it just, I need that drive time, like an hour so I can just relax.
I remember having a period where, I don't remember how long ago this was, not that long ago, but I remember I was just felt like I was always kind of like agitated. And I remember thinking whenever I was driving, I was listening to fucking sports talk radio and they're fucking agitated the whole time. Right. So I was I thought about this last night. My wife was watching Real Housewives. And I was like, I was always like, it's just like fucking just women are just yelling at each other the whole time. And I remember one day I was like, I need to stop listening to fucking talk radio because I'm just getting all this arguing constantly in my ears. So I just remember thinking I'm only listening to fucking Pearl Jam. So I think for like a month, I only listened to Pearl Jam. I was like, this will be my version of like church or fucking therapy or whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. And I remember there was a shift. Like, you did feel like, ah, oh. Because you needed that, like, you're stressed out. Then you get in the car, you listen to fucking people stressed out, fucking trying to fill time by arguing about shit. Versus you get in the car and you listen to fucking mellow music and you're like, you can transition into like, all right, now I'm ready to fucking do whatever.
Yeah. I'm surprised you don't listen like your slow jams.
I do.
Yeah.
Last night I was playing catch with Luke in the backyard and I'm like, all right, I give him like a, what do we have? We had like Stairway to Heaven. Then we had like
that's pretty slow.
Then yeah,
the build apart.
we had Pink Floyd.
That's great too.
That's always a classic.
Shine On You Crazy Diamond. Then we had Thank You, Chris Cornell from the live album.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then by this point, I was like, but I think that's just because at night. I think it, like when it's getting dark, the wind's blowing, the trees are there. You just blast this fucking slow music into the neighborhood.
Does he have a favorite band yet,
Luke?
Yeah.
No. The only one I think he knows, like, if you say, Luke, who is this? He's not thinking, like, who is it? He just goes, like, Pink Floyd? No. Pearl Jam?
He goes to the
the five bands you listen to.
After that, he's stuck.
All right. Well, I guess.
Actually, I did play our theme song, too.
Oh, yeah?
A little Mad Season. Yeah. All right. Well, the song you made up, clearly, because we wouldn't use a song.
Yeah, God forbid.
We wouldn't use a song that we're not supposed to.
Oh, wait.
We haven't got caught yet.
All right, I just fucking rambled again the whole time. What do you guys... I didn't mean to do that.
What did we go? No, we went over the questions. You pretty much went with the signs that you are ready in
what's
the
a
story.
Glass, what's a glass ceiling? Who thinks they've hit their glass ceiling?
Where are you now?
A glass ceiling is if you were, let's say...
Someone's holding you back, right?
Yeah, so you're a second in charge. You're the vice president of the company, and the president is the same age as you, and he's never going to leave, or she's never going to leave, and... You feel like this is it for you. You can't go any farther in this company, but you know that you can go farther. Then you've hit the glass ceiling. It's time to.
Hey Jim, have you hit the glass ceiling?
Yes, totally, totally.
Do you think Nick's going to leave one day?
I'm just waiting. You know,
well, he can't because then we go back to number five. So that's why we refuse to recognize his abilities. Because on this checklist, you've got to have your other workers recognize your abilities.
Yeah. what are the other workers that would recognize my abilities?
You do a good job, Jim.
Thank you.
There's also the part about your brain is full of great ideas.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Man, just painful over there. Man,
just shiving it right here.
It's like a shower. Hey,
why don't you just take the gasoline,
pour
it over.
Put some Pearl Jam on quick.
Take the gasoline, pour it on top of my head, and start
You're
me on fire.
Shiving him on a toilet.
I was looking at this as like, you spend more time working outside the office. I'm like, shit, I just spent all day working outside the office. Are these guys going to think, the fuck is he going to do now?
Well, that's essentially your job.
To be outside.
Just to be outside the office and go find more ideas.
Yeah.
Brain's full of great ideas. Work is too easy. You hit the glass ceiling. You spend more time working outside the office. Other workers recognize your abilities. Your passion is in check.
What does that mean?
That means like, you're not making a rash decision. Meaning like you're not just like really super hyped about this idea. I'm just gonna leave.
That is the hardest thing. Like even as we know, like the ideas will come up on a day or during a week. Some are gone or explored and deemed not worth pursuing or can't pursue them or something in a day, a week. Sometimes there's something that like seems like the greatest thing in the world for 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden there's a flaw and it's like, oh shit, that's why you can't do it. So that's why you don't rush into quitting your job, I think, until you really have thought it through, because that's the worst case scenario, I think, when people get stuck. If you could combine that, fucking rushing into quitting your job because you're so excited and you want to be committed to this new thing, but you haven't thought it completely through, or you haven't let it go on enough to see if someone else will, you know, punch some holes in it. And then you've told everyone when you've left, I'm assuming. So now you created this fucking pressure for yourself. And then it's not easy to tell people, yeah, I quit my job. I thought this was a really fucking good idea. And then I realized the week after I quit that it wasn't.
Can I have my job back?
Fucking tail between the legs. Yeah. Just like
you probably could get your job back if you were honest about that in most cases. If you were a good worker and you had a great idea and you said, hey, you know, this is why I wanted to leave. And
but if you burn that bridge.
But I think it's more people with
next Zappos.
I think it's more people with their friends and family and stuff where they just like.
So who should you run ideas by? Like if somebody's about to start
you.
Business. Yeah, so yeah. Besides
last,
that.
That's our last episode.
Well,
yeah.
If I'm not available.
My rate is too high.
I created an app with just all of your expressions and how you'd respond. So I just open that app.
Oh, like a magic 8-ball?
We got some comments that Dennis from people Arama. That need to run their ideas by Dennis.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. It's funny because I will come up with an idea and then I'd get excited. I do a bunch of research on it and then I sit on it for like a month and I come back to it and then I see if I still like it. But then if the excitement's not there, then I'm like, then I kind of, I don't know. But I never really actually run it by.
Anybody?
Yeah. Because I almost like I'm so hard on myself poking holes in it that I can easily convince myself that it sucks.
I feel like you live with a pretty smart person who might be able to help you. You know, you could run some of these ideas by someone you trust.
Yeah, my mom's kind of busy, though.
I don't think you no longer...
You guys are taking jabs.
After this episode, you will no longer have an extremely supportive partner.
Right.
That was another thing that took a long time was to deal with people giving you feedback mm-hmm. they didn't want to hear.
Right. Oh,
it's hard. It's so hard not to just be like, come on. Like, and it's also hard to give that today. The situation where I was hearing feedback I didn't want to hear, and also giving feedback the other person didn't want to hear.
Yeah.
And then it turned out kind of like we're both right and both wrong, and it's just like.
Yeah.
But that's a tough one to not necessarily all of a sudden, especially if you're so excited about something, to not be like, even if you understand, I understand what you're saying, but the good outweighs the bad. Like, fuck it.
Yeah.
That's hard. We need to think. We need something right now that we can get Dennis's opinion on.
Right now,
who's got an idea?
Yeah, a new one. We should have shown. No, we can't do that yet. I was going to say we should show them our video from the other day.
No, we can't do that.
We can't do that yet.
What video?
All right, give us a category. What do you want to? Let's pretend we're going to fucking start a cookie company.
All right, cookie company.
Hawaiian cookies on the table.
Yeah.
What do we? All right, Julio, you're going to start a cookie company. What's your angle going to be?
I want. Well, in the spirit of episode 20, what was 23? We're going to do a keto cookie. All
right, keto cookie.
Keto cookies. All
right. Do you think a keto cookie would taste as good as a regular
cookie?
Is it just
cookie? Like sour cream and broccoli? I don't know. What would this cookie be?
A keto cookie has to be the
sprinkling of
chocolate. Has to be a net carbs that's, say, under 3 net carbs or 4.
So we're just pushing it. I'm picturing like we just get sour cream, so, eggs, and guacamole. And we
make like a cookie.
It's like meat cookie.
Dry. It's like that. It's like that.
No, you go like almond flour. There's recipes out there. You're asking me to improvise.
Okay,
here.
Say we say this. Say Julio's gonna start fucking keto cookies.
Okay.
All right. It's gonna be called
Hawaiian cookie company.
Kiyokis.
Kiyokis.
Kiyokis, right? Okay. And he's gonna.
Name sucks, but keep going.
So he finds out.
Kiyokis.
He gets really excited because all his friends are fucking keto.
Yeah.
And they're fiending for cookies.
They have the
and
same.
He starts to assume that a disproportionate amount of the country.
I just changed the company. Keto brownies.
Keto brownies.
So there's keto brownies, and he's just decided that because all his friends are on keto, that even though he thinks his friends are a little odd, like Damien the other day. Damien said he was just making up random statistics, but he said, I don't know if keto would be a good idea because I think only about 1 in 30 people are on keto. I think it's more like 1 in 3 million or something.
Yeah, and 1 in 30.
All right. So Julio says, okay, I can do this. What are the cookies going to taste like?
Brownies.
They're not going to be able to taste as good as the brownies.
What are the brownies going to taste like?
Will they be a little worse tasting?
You won't be able to tell that they're keto.
You won't be able to tell.
You won't be able to tell that they're keto.
Okay. Ooh, that's the tagline on the box.
Has anyone done it before? Has anyone made a cookie, a brownie that's generally the keto stuff tastes worse than regular stuff?
It doesn't taste as sweet. I guess is the right because you need sugar as like the
so it tastes different.
Oh, so you can't have it can have sugar either.
It can have sweetener, but it can't have.
So it's going to taste different, but you think it'll taste just as good.
Just as good.
You think people who are used to...
These are brownies, by the way.
I wouldn't even mark it as a brownie if it's not even
stevia,
sweet.
Right? It's just going to be loaded with stevia.
There are other sweeteners out there.
All right, so Julio's got this idea. He's going to make fucking kibounies.
Kibounies, okay.
And they're not going to have any ingredients in them, but they're going to taste just as good as regular brownies.
Okay.
Okay. Are you going to sell them just to people on keto, or are they going to be so good that everyone's going to eat
them? Everyone's going to want them. They can't believe it's keto.
So he's going to sell them to everyone.
I'm going to get Kwame Brown to do the marketing because it's Q and brownie, so Kwame Brown.
Why don't you get Jared Keto?
I could get Jared Keto to do it too.
All right, so
I'm freestyling here. I quit, guys.
I think you should. I think we should just get rid of the keto altogether. Like just a healthy low carb brownie.
Now you guys are messing up my dream idea.
Well, what do you think, Dennis? What do you think? So here's the option. Julio's leaving tomorrow to start a brownie company.
Whether he likes it or not.
His options are a keto brownie, which he currently thinks will taste just as good as any other brownie, even though he's got to use limited ingredients. Or he can go Jim's route and just go a low carb brownie, which Jim thinks will taste just as good as any other brownie. Keto, he could have like super passionate, small audience. Jim's plan, he could have passionate, big audience. Or he could just keep fucking working and think of a better idea. So he's your friend. He just came to you with this. Let's have this conversation.
All right. Well.
Wait, before you say anything.
I start with the.
Before you say anything, have you tried the brownies?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Have you?
Or which ones?
I brought you some brownies.
Are you sending me brownies?
Yeah. Well, how did you reply yeah to that?
He's going to have to have tried the brownies, right? Because that's going to...
If I try the brownies...
So you've tried the brownies, yeah.
So you've tried the brownies.
Yeah, so...
If I tried the brownies...
No, you have tried the brownies.
If I tried the brownies...
No, you have,
no,
tried,
but
the
you have tried the brownies.
For the sake of this conversation, you've tried the brownie.
Okay.
You can decide in your head what you thought of it for the sake of this conversation. And you got... Julio is telling you, I'm going to quit my job tomorrow. Here's my idea. You taste the fucking brownie.
I haven't told Nick. I have not told Jim that I'm leaving.
You're his best friend.
All right. What I would say is probably not quit the job yet. I would probably start a small company and just test it. And
well, hold on. You're talking to him, though. You guys are like like he's saying.
I would probably.
I'm right here, Dennis.
Hold on. Let's start the car. Tell him your idea and what you're thinking.
Dennis, you've obviously tried the brownies.
Yeah.
I can tell by your face that you love them.
They were really good.
Thank you.
I thought they were good for a keto brownie.
So look, I haven't told Jim or Nick that I'm leaving, but my plan is to quit tomorrow because I have to move on this space. So I'm gonna borrow some money from my dad, and I'm gonna open this brownie shop in Burlingame.
Okay, the brownies weren't that great. I mean, they're good for a keto brownie, but I don't know if. I mean, do you even know your market? Like, how many people? I mean, do you need a shop to do that? Can't you just cook
I figure Basecamp will let me just put, like, a rack of brownies there.
Okay, and then what are you going to do with that $20 that you make every month with that?
I have rent to pay.
Did you rent $15?
What a friend. What a friend. Tough love. This is
yeah, I know. It's good.
Tough love.
It's tough. I'll tell you, it's even tough hearing it. We just made this company up on the spot.
Yeah.
But as somebody who's just like, you know, trying to act this out, it's even tough to hear rejection. Yeah. That
well,
one.
When you were talking, I was thinking, okay, there's no chance that you're the first person who either works at Basecamp or is in Burlingame that has thought of something relatively healthy that thought, I bet I could sell these at Basecamp. And Dennis's point of like, what are you going to do with that $20 is interesting because like, it probably wouldn't be $20, but it's not going to be enough to support you. In fact, Swinney once, or we've had a bunch of people come out. Like, I think someone wanted to sell their home-baked. No, we did have a company that was selling home-baked gluten-free products. I think they put some in the base camp at one point and just didn't catch on. We tried to do the fucking protein coffee.
Yeah, yeah,
that's going to. I didn't catch on. And I literally thought at the time that we would throw protein coffee in there and that was it. We were off to the races and there'd be fucking 5 mile coffee shops all over the place.
Molly makes a really good cookie, a really amazing cookie. And the guy who ran the Dragons the last couple of years was like, these things are so good. He's like, just package them. We'll sell them at the Dragons game. He's like, I mean, they're going to make a ton of money.
Yeah.
And I was like, eh, you know, they're good, but like, it's a lot of work. And you know, what's the return on a $1.25 cookie? I mean, how many are we actually going to sell? So like, I think even when someone's really, really positive, and that conversation wasn't the most positive, you guys got to work on that.
I thought we were best friends.
I think even when it's positive, I think what Dennis is saying is absolutely right. And I think I've had this conversation with a couple of my friends who are like, I'm going to stop everything and go for it. And I'm like, okay, well, I think the first thing we need to do is look at a business plan, right? We need to look at how much money you think you can make and how much you think you can sell and what's your market. We need to like think about this less about like, this is the next big thing, and maybe more like, how am I going to pay my bills if I quit my job? So, I've had a couple of friends who have done the, I'm quitting my job tomorrow, and it went okay. They ended up getting another job down the road, but it was good. It was a good experience for them. I don't think they would change it or not try to do it.
I think getting the other job is the key. Most people will be able to get another job. And so people get themselves in a funk where they think what I'm doing right now is irreplaceable. And you got to figure out like, is it really like, is it, you know, a certain amount of freedom or a certain topic or all your seniority is built up within this one organization, it won't transfer over another one.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think most of the time you get another fucking job.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but the, even that conversation, even though it was goofy, is like, it's hard because as a friend, it's like, what's your responsibility, right? What is Dennis's responsibility to tell?
As my best friend, his responsibility is to tell me the truth.
But sometimes that will happen and sometimes it won't. And then if this conversation was happening and we weren't here, and it was a real conversation, there's also a good chance that Dennis would tell you, oh, this is gonna be tough, man. Like, how many people want a fucking keto brownie? And you would naturally get a little bit defensive. And like the way you replied to him would lead him to think, well, shit, clearly he doesn't want to hear what I really think. So, yeah, it could work. Yeah, it could work. There's so many conversations, right, where it ends with like, yeah.
Well, that's part of what it says. And that's when I think your passion is in check, meaning like you are ready to receive the criticism necessary for you to really be able to tell whether it's a good idea for you to leave your job and go start another company.
Yeah.
So if I came at him and I was come from a defensive point, like, all right, you're my best friend. You're going to tell me how great these are.
Yeah.
And you're going to really motivate me to, I think if I'm waiting for you for affirmation of the fact that my brownies are great, then I haven't really bought into the idea of it being the best possible business idea.
Yeah. I mean, if you were like, man, these brownies, my dream and I'm going to do it, I don't care. Then yeah, of course I'd be supportive. But I mean,
I think it goes back to Maurice's episode. That was the big takeaway for me was like, for me personally, like, I'm a little fucking wishy-washy, right? Like, I'm not a... Even if I believe something, sometimes I'll still float it out there gently. Like, either because I don't want to come across like I think I'm right, or I want to float it out there so I'm only partially committed to people thinking this is what I think.
Yeah. You
know? Like, that's hard. And then... So that's definitely true. Like, if you're looking for validation... It means something. It probably means that you know there's a hole in the plan, but you would really like to move forward. And so if you could just get someone else to basically add to the fact, big deal, that hole, maybe that hole doesn't exist. You'll feel better about it, and it won't be all the responsibility on you, like the accountability thing, right? Like, I don't, it's not like anyone's really following, but I like posting that posting that I work out each day is kind of like, it feels like kind of goofy, like, oh, I just worked out, I'm like, post, oh, no. And then Instagram, you need a fucking picture. It's like, ah, shit, well, I can't just post like workout done, because I have to, there's to be a picture attached to it, right? But I do, it has for me at least made me work out on at least one day where I wouldn't have worked out otherwise, because I realize whether Maurice is watching or someone is watching, or I've said on a, so there's not even a correlation, right? Like most, some people following don't listen to the podcast, or most people following don't listen to the podcast, and most people listening to the podcast don't follow, but there's still that little pressure you've created where it's like, all right,
you get a little social pressure there, don't you?
Yeah. So even at night, usually for me, if it gets past 4 o'clock and
I haven't told Maurice I worked out.
No, what the fuck? If it gets past 4 o'clock, I haven't worked out. Historically, I would never work out. And then I think this week I've worked out like 3 times after 5 o'clock, just because it was like, ah, fuck, I got to fucking post it. But even today, I went to base camp and I reposted the base camp today's workout. But there was even a little part of me that's like, well, how do I reposted that, but now how do I, is that clear enough to make people think like, yes, I did my fucking workout today. It didn't fucking flake. Now I do think there's, on this list you got, there's signs you aren't ready. So it's lack of funds, personal circumstances, lack of business know-how, lack of support, lackluster people skills, inability to get organized, fear of failure. I think I disagree with some of them. Lack of funds, I don't think that's a sign you aren't ready to move forward with a business. As long as you have, well, if you have lack of funds to just live, right? But you don't have to have your whole funding figured out, because a lot of that's going to come from talking to people and talking to people and talking to people, and funds will just appear.
Or part of that too could be a lack of knowing where your immediate funding is coming from.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So it's like, I'm going to go start this keto company, keto brownie company. But like you said, how are you going to pay for next month's rent? You don't. If I don't have a plan behind that, then that's part of,
like, almost like sign. Planning how long you're going to be without making money. So you squirrel away 6 months or something just to give you something.
And in a lot of circumstances, like today I was on the phone for a project and it was like a little premature, and it was like, oh, we're going to raise money for this. And they're like, well, is the product ready? No. Well, it's a little premature to talk about this before the product's ready. Well, yeah, but the product will be ready at some point. And so, like, might as well talk now so that when the product's ready, we've already skipped the introduction parts. So it's the same kind of thing where, like, there's sometimes when you just got to jump in order to open up the funding, right? If you were to tell your friends, family, hey, I'm working on this fucking keto brownie thing. Mm-hmm. Here's what I did today. And they're maybe like, you know what? Are you looking for money? Like, I'd be willing to pitch in a little bit versus get home from work. How was your day? Good, good, good. I just did X, Y, Z, blah, 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 blah. And at the, you know, and then, hey, do you want to invest in my keto brownie idea? It's like, what, you know, there's that. That's the tricky part with like the, are you committed? Did you leave your job? But there's enough time in the day now that you most likely will have to work and then carve out a whole nother amount of time.
Yeah.
As if you didn't have a job, because it's not time sensitive. But the two on here that I guess I would disagree with are, well, lack of business know-how. I mean, that's just as simple as watching Shark Tank. You can see what it's like if you can't answer the questions.
Yeah.
So you got to figure out what the basic questions are. Lack of support. That's like yes and no. Like if no one likes your brownie, that's a negative lack of support. But if your girlfriend and your parents and your friends are like, hey, Julio, this is a bad idea, but it's just because they think it's risky, then that's, that lack of support is not a negative.
Yeah, you don't need those people.
Yeah. Lackluster people skills. I mean, we're going to see play out with Crooks and Goons. So that one, instead of getting into it, we'll just do a case study. Inability to get organized. That's my daily struggle. Like, to be totally honest with you, I don't have to be honest with you. It's pretty clear.
But I work with you every day.
Were you lying before? Yeah. Like
I think that's just, you got to just compartmentalize. Like, even if you're not organized, you got to at least know. If you're not organized and you haven't thought about something, then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
But fear of failure, I don't understand why that one's not on the list. I mean, I think you're always going to have fear of failure. So I guess what it means more is
if that's your initial
lack of confidence in your idea.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't think, I don't know if this is going to work, but fuck it, I'm going to quit my job and try it. That's not a very good mindset.
Yeah.
But if you're like, there's a chance this doesn't work, but I'm going to quit my job and do everything I can. That's different.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's how I took that particular bullet point to mean.
Yeah. It was a good list.
This is a long one for a short one.
Julio put together quite an outline for us here.
What are we, 2 hours, 30 minutes?
We're at 1 hour.
That's not bad.
But here's the final part. These are the things you should do before quitting your job to start a business. Do your research, which I think you cannot do enough research. Like even when you think you've researched everything, you might as well keep researching. You want to be the first one to find the flaw rather than be in a meeting and someone point out to you a flaw you haven't thought of or a challenge you haven't thought of. Create a business plan. I don't think it has to be the first business plan I created, I ordered software that came like, oh, here's business plan software. And it was like a 22 page thing. And I was like, I don't have enough fucking information to fill up 22 pages. So I would just sit there basically like being in college, right? You get a paragraph, you fucking reword a few things and you do it. But it was excessive. A business plan nowadays, you need one sheet, which clearly identifies what the plan is, what the competitors are, why you're different, who's involved, what you need to get started. Outline your funding options. I think at least in your head have an idea of like, I'm going to go tell 1,000 people about this that I know, and I think 10 of them will end up giving me $50 each, and all I need is $500.
Yeah.
Create the structure for your business. Yes and no. I mean, you need to set up a LLC or a corporation or whatever when you get started, but unless you're going to actually be paying people and depositing and writing checks, I think you can hold off. Like, I got fucking business accounts that I opened where I never went forward with the business. It's just another pain in the ass of like shutting down this LLC that you started because you got all excited, and then shutting down this bank account that you never fucking used. And so I would say you can wait on those ones. Leverage your resources. Yes. If you're not willing to go out and if you're too timid or you feel like, oh, I don't want to bug people, I don't want to ask for this, then that's going to be a challenge in the first place. Mm-hmm. So you have to be comfortable. If you're not comfortable talking about it, then that's going to be a challenge no matter what. Leave on a good note. I agree. I think you just...
You don't go fingers in the air.
Yeah.
Bridge burning
behind you. Viral video. Yeah.
I think you leave on a good note and then... If things
you thought that was
quickly,
a brownie on your desk, Jim?
Yeah.
No.
That's the keto brownie.
It's a keto brownie. It's shaped like a log.
Julio's already pivoted.
This just really changes the business altogether.
Don't forget the smaller planning details. Choose your new office space. I don't think you should be thinking about that right now. There's a fucking seat at Starbucks. Create a portfolio or a resume. I'd say if you're leaving to start a company, creating your resume is probably the last thing you should be thinking about. But I think what it means is like, so how are you going to sell yourself?
Yeah.
Right. Someone says, why are you the person to do this? And it's not going to be, well, because I worked for 3 years in this office and I was responsible for XYZ. It's just going to be,
I love brownies. Yeah.
More like, yeah, I've got these skills, which are transferable to this. And I fucking love keto brownies. And then remember, it's going to be a challenge and it's always going to be a challenge. There's not going to be any point where it suddenly is easy.
Yeah.
Every thing that happens, good or bad, is going to create new challenges. These fucking headphones are drilling the little button on top of my hat into my head. Like, I'm going to have, like, it might be embedded in my skull at this point.
Well, that's a good sign for us to sign out before
the skull falls apart.
Let's end right there.
We also got to clean up because when Dennis came in today, he was like, whoa, who's been in here? Apparently, Julio was rummaging around and
got cookies and
did not put the wires back together.
Forgot to put the lights away.
It's all right.
Sorry, Dennis.
All right, that was a good one.
Yes, that was a good one. So if you like what you hear, follow us on Instagram, at the Startup Addict, Twitter, startup_addict, YouTube.
Yes.
Search us still.
Oh yeah, please keep searching.
Keep searching. And then also startupaddict.com.
Oh yeah, the website.
Thank you very much. Hope you enjoyed it. And
buy my brownies.
See you later.